Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
I welcome you as we gather to worship God and to hear His holy word. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we do bow humbly in Thy holy presence. We thank Thee that Thou art mighty and the Most High. We thank Thee that we can come to Thee and bring our petitions to Thee through Thy Son, our Mediator, the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that Thou art the God of glory and the God of grace. Thank Thee that Thou didst send Thy Son into the world to be our Saviour. Thank Thee that Thou dost give us the word of the Gospel in the Holy Scriptures. And as Thy word is read and preached and proclaimed tonight, may the Saviour be magnified, His people edified, and sinners drawn to Him for Christ's great name's sake. Amen. Our scripture reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5, and the verses 27 down to verse 32. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The hymn is, I stand amazed in the presence. want to speak to you today about Matthew, or Levi, as he is here called in our text in Luke chapter 5, verse 27. After these things, Jesus went forth and saw a publican named Levi. Matthew never calls himself Levi. For him, that name went when he first met the Savior, and he prefers the new name, Matthew. The name that we identify with that first gospel in our New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew. The name Matthew is of Hebrew origin. It means gift of the Lord. And that's Matthew's memorial to his Savior. He met the gift of the Lord. Because Jesus Christ is God's gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so Levi encountered the unspeakable gift. He was called by that gift. He received that gift. He became a follower of that gift. And he wrote a gospel about him, the gift of God Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so he calls himself by this name. He became a very humble believer. He rarely writes about himself in his gospel. He never once says, I or me. And when he lists the 12 apostles, he calls himself humbly Matthew the publican. That's how he felt about himself. Even though when he wrote the gospel, he was no longer a publican, a tax collector. He had repented and received Jesus Christ. And when he writes that gospel and calls himself Matthew the publican, he is magnifying God's grace. He is always recognizing he is the publican. As Paul felt about himself, the chief of sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And Matthew wrote about the Savior who came into the world to save publicans and sinners. And he is the publican, the chief publican. So he was a very humble man. And that's how he came to feel about himself when he got to know the Lord. The Lord Jesus told a parable once. We call it the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. And in that parable, we see how each of those men come before God. The Pharisee stands proud. He thanks God he's not like other men. He thanks God he's not like the publican. He thanks God that he's able to give tithes and to do so many good works. But the poor publican, he stands afar off. He dare not even lift up his eyes unto heaven. He beats upon his breast. He says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And Matthew could identify with that publican. In fact, probably Matthew would say, I am that publican. That's me that the Lord spoke about. He knew himself to be a sinner, and he magnified the mercy of God that saved him. I wonder, do we know ourselves to be sinners? Do we smite on our breasts for our own sins? Or would we rather smite others for their sins? Have we the spirit of the publican in the parable, or the spirit of the Pharisee? How do you approach God? How do you come before the Lord? How do you value mercy? And how do you feel about your sinfulness? And do you value the Lord Jesus as the greatest gift of God that you could ever possess? When we first meet Matthew, he is sitting. It says he saw a publican named Levi sitting. That's his posture. And the place where he sits is described as the receipt of custom. He's sitting in his place. There he is. He's no intention of moving. There he lives. There he would probably have died as a publican, sitting in his place. And there he would have perished in his sin and gone to hell. Unless God's mercy apprehended him. And that's what's happened. He's sitting. He's not seeking. He's not, as it were, rising. He's not fleeing from the wrath to come. He is not moving at all. He's just immobile sitting. That's how Jesus finds him. Sitting in sin, abiding in transgression, continuing ungodly. And thus it would have been with him always, until the Lord Jesus passed by this day and called him. And sinners, that's what sinners are doing. Matthew's not alone. Sinners are sitting in their sin. Sinners are careless. Sinners are unmovable. They are at ease in their lost estate, unconcerned, sitting on. And if you're unconverted, that's you today. What will it take to move you? What will it take to cause you to arise and flee from the wrath to come and to leave your wicked ways and get into the embrace of a gracious Saviour? So Matthew's not sitting alone. Multitudes and multitudes are like him, sitting when they should be flying, sitting when they should be seeking. Oh, sinner, don't linger anymore in your ease of sin. Arise. Arise out of thy sleep and out of thy slumber and fly to Christ. And where does Matthew sit? And what does Matthew do? Well, it tells us he is at the receipt of custom. He's at his business desk. All three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell us this. He's in his toll booth, the tax collector's toll booth. What does he do there? He works with figures. He adds up the numbers. He does the multiplication. He obtains the weights and the measurements, and he sets to numbering for Rome, because he's a tax collector for Rome. He numbers for himself because he'll make profit out of the tax collecting. Tax collectors were normally corrupt in Bible times whenever they were collaborating with Rome in the land of Israel. And here he is, working with the numbers, doing the figures, but numbering like all sinners number, just for time, just for the temporary. Not numbering for eternity. Not numbering his days. Remember how the psalmist prayed, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Matthew's not doing that. He's careless in regard to that. He's more interested in the numbers of the money. Reverend Thomas Chalmers became a great minister in Scotland in the days of the formation of the Free Church of Scotland. But his first days in the ministry were as an unconverted man. And he used to love the study of science and chemistry, and was particularly fond of mathematics. And he spent much of his time teaching these things in the academy in his town, with more enthusiasm than he preached God's word, until the Lord opened his eyes. And many years later, whenever he recollected how God's grace had come to him, and he thought about with regret how that whenever he asked himself, he said, I was blinded. I was strangely blinded, he says. What is the object of mathematical science, he asked. Magnitude and the proportions of magnitude. But then he related, while he was greatly interested in those things, he said, I forgot two magnitudes. I forgot of the greatness of eternity and of the littleness of time. And Matthew is like that. With all his numbering, he has not numbered the brevity of his life, nor the greatness of the eternity, nor the multitude of his sins. He has not remember the word that what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Matthew's job as a tax collector is an abominable job to the Jews. It is a job that is stained and repugnant. And Matthew is reckoned a collaborator, a traitor, collecting for Rome, bringing the nation's prophets to a foreign power. Matthew was the leper in society, the cast out. His only friends were like himself, like-minded, publicans and sinners as well. And there he sits, stained, repulsive, abhorrent. But the Lord Jesus comes forth. The text says he went forth. Jesus went forth and saw a publican. We bless God for this. This is the only hope for the sinner. This is the only hope for the publican. A Savior who comes forth. There's a coming forth Savior. The Savior who came forth into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. A Savior on the travels into the earth and throughout the earth, and he has been on his journey. And this day he has met Matthew, and he comes to Matthew. He doesn't pass by Matthew. He doesn't pass on. But the journey of the Lord pauses. And at Matthew's seat, he sees him. He saw a publican. That's what the text says. The Lord Jesus saw Matthew sitting. Now, we don't read that Matthew saw the Lord Jesus. Indeed, he may have done so. But if he did, he didn't perceive the Savior's heart before he heard the Savior's word. The change came when Christ saw him. That's where the story of the change began. When the Lord Jesus saw him in his sin and his lost estate and had pity upon him, the poor sinner. No eye pitied Matthew. All the people that went past, they cast an eye of disdain upon him. But the Lord Jesus did no such thing. He eyed him with loving kindness. He eyed him with great compassion. And he was loathsome, as I said, to Israel. But the God of Israel passed by this day and saw him. Like the God of Ezekiel, who said, "When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." And the Lord Jesus sees a man that day, and he says to him, "Live." And he doesn't only see Matthew in the surface. He sees all that he is. And the Lord Jesus sees all that we are. He sees down into our heart. When he sees us, he sees deep, even deeper beyond than we can see. He can see the sin and all the transgressions of our heart against the holy law of his Father. And as he sees this heart of Matthew's, he does not retreat. No, he does not recoil, nor does he quickly pass on as so many other disgusted persons would have done so. No, he pauses and he calls. He says, "Follow me." And you know, this is an election of grace that bypasses the proud Pharisees and the religious leaders and yet casts an eye on a leper, an outcast of the people. And sinner, maybe you feel so sinful. You feel so stained with your sin. You need never despair when you think of a story like this. And when you discover yourself a sinner, when you see yourself aright, as you ought to see yourself, as Jesus sees you, a sinner. And when we see ourselves as worms, we see even not then ourselves clearly. For we're not just worms, we're worms of worms. And we're not just sinners, we are chief of sinners. We don't half see our sins at all. But Jesus sees all our sins. And yet he calls us graciously in the gospel. He still calls. He still presses forth with the word of invitation to the publican. And you, sinner, you can be assured also that you are called by the Savior in the call of the gospel. The call is simple, but powerful. Follow me. Follow me. What does the text say? After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi and said unto him, follow me. I hear Matthew saying, can I follow thee, Lord Jesus? Would you want me? Would you want such a sinner as I am? Unloved, undesired, unthought of, undespised as I am by all the people? Would I not be an embarrassment to you, Lord Jesus? I who am disgusting to men, yeah, I'm even disgusting to myself. And would you take me in, Lord Jesus? Yes, follow me, Matthew. Depth of mercy, Matthew says. Can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear me, the chief of sinners, spur? Yes, Matthew, he'll take you in. There's mercy even for you. And Matthew wrote about that mercy. And he wrote about that Savior who showed that mercy. And so here's a Savior who is a Savior for sinners, for heavy laden sinners. Matthew himself wrote in the Gospel the words of the Lord Jesus. He is the only one who records these words in actual fact. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I think that's how Matthew must have felt. He was laboring. The burden of sin was so great. It was a heavy load. And no one loved him, and he was a loner, except for all his fellow sinners. But then he heard that call of Jesus and that promise of rest, and he responded in faith and followed the Lord Jesus. And that's what you have to do, sinner. He calls you. Leave all and follow him. Arise out of your sin. Leave your bed of ease and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely he calleth for you. That's what the Bible says. The Master is come, and he calleth for you. All day long, the Savior says, I have stretched out my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. He calls you in the gospel. He stretches out his hands unto you, as he did unto Matthew. And what will your response be? How long will you sit on? But what does Matthew do? Does he sit on? No, he doesn't linger. He arises. When he hears the Savior say, take up thy cross and follow me. Deny thyself, the world forsake, and humbly follow after me. He does it. And what does it say here? The word drops down into Matthew's heart. He hears it. The enmity against God has gone out of his soul in the power of that call. The averseness to approach the Savior has disappeared. The magnetism of the toll booth has ceased. He arises. A stirring has taken place in his heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's been set free. And he arises. And he leaves all. And he comes forth and follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke says he left all. Nothing now so precious to him as Jesus Christ. He says goodbye to the world. He says goodbye to the world's gains. He says goodbye to the temporal. And he says hello and welcome to Jesus Christ. Now, he has found the one pearl of great price. He follows Christ. And he leaves all. And so, will you not do that today? Will you not follow the Savior and come into the embrace of the Lord Jesus? He'll welcome you. He'll receive you. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we ask that thou will bless thy word. We thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee for the grace of our Lord Jesus. We pray that many sinners may hear the call of his grace and be drawn to him, to his glory. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.